Warning, the podcast you're about to hear is very filthy. We say naughty words you'll eventually use as an adult anyway. It'll cause you not to eat your vegetables, and your mom generally thinks it's a bad idea. Any moment within the show that has any similarity to the history of any person living or dead or any actual events is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Except where specifically noted, otherwise in the cast and crew credits, all celebrity voices are impersonated and no celebrities have endorsed any aspect of this show.
If you don't listen to The Good, the Bad, and the Geeky, then you're an idiot. Then again, if you're listening to this right now, then that means you are listening, meaning you're not an idiot. A conundrum.
Talk to you.
Recorded live.
Welcome out to The Good, the Bad, and the Geeky. My name is Nick Nitro. Along with me is,
me,
Jimmy, and John, apparently, because you have your voices.
Hey, we missed John.
We did miss John.
We're finally all together again.
Yeah, the week before
it's like
that, we missed
so many
Nick.
Years have gone by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the reunion tour.
Because it's been 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, I'm the only one of us that's been here. Both weeks. You each took a week off? Well, I actually joked that I should take tonight off, but I didn't.
Yeah, we were hoping.
I'll take another night off someday.
One day in a galaxy far, far away.
No. Anyway, we got emails to get to.
That's right. You want to go first, or do you want mine to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
Dear Nick, I have been listening to your podcast, and I heard you don't watch Battlestar Galactica. Therefore, I think that you are an idiot. Love, Joss Whedon. Thank you, Joss Whedon. For those of you who don't know, Joss Whedon is the creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, and Firefly, as well as the movie Serenity. He didn't really write that, just in case anybody's wondering. But since Joss Whedon thinks all people who don't watch Battlestar Galactica are idiots, therefore he thinks Nick's an idiot. I take creative license.
That was so believable.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to, like, sue us, because we used his name. So I had to immediately disclaimer it.
You know what?
So every time we use a slower's name... Or does it have to be a quote?
Well, I mean, since I said this email was from Joss Whedon, I felt the need for disclaimer. Now, if it was actually from Joss Whedon, I wouldn't disclaimer. Like, the emails we actually got
from Matt Goddard, but, so, if I were to say, yeah, Tom Cruise called the show and was like, Jimmy's a fag.
Well, we don't care about
Do I have to say...
No, Joss...
That a disclaimer was that Tom Cruise didn't really say that.
No, because Tom Cruise is lame and Joss Whedon rocks. That's the difference.
Either way, he has way more money than us, and we would get shut down.
But you know what? He can try to take everything we own, but we're poor. We don't own anything. So.
Except for our souls, and that would soon be also Joss Whedon's.
Oh,
and, you know, well, I got to say, though, fake Joss Whedon, that, you know what? I may be an idiot, but I pick out some damn good mutant grapes.
You do pick out some good grapes.
These grapes are
good grapes.
Fucking A.
John, do you have an email?
No.
I bow down to the genius of Jonathan Nabateen.
You know what? Seriously, that's like your new thing. You just don't have email. You're like, do you have email this week? You have email? You've been talking about... No.
Okay.
Well, honestly, the emails can't be addressed to me according to a website, so... I can't have any emails!
At least your picture
you know what? You know what? We're working on that. Very slowly, but surely.
I do like the website picture, though. Since you got an email, did you like that?
We did it last... We did that email last week.
Did you?
I think so.
I don't know. We did. Yeah.
You were here last week.
I was, too.
Oh, yeah. You... John,
you weren't here.
You're right.
God, we've not been doing this
We need to have a picture of Pat Goblin on the site.
Yeah.
We'll put him in the logo, too, because he's a part of the show.
Yes!
And Pat will finally actually go to our website, because when he does get a moment, he'll go, what the hell am I doing on that website?
I don't think he talks like that, but okay.
He doesn't, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Ah, gotcha.
He's great for making me talk southern.
Oh, well, why don't you do your email, because we got a lot to do tonight.
Okay.
We interrupt this tender moment to bring you...
Previously on Lost.
Let it be known that Nick is bad at math, and I made fun of him for being bad at math, and he thought I called him an idiot and didn't talk to me for 3 days last weekend. I'm not kidding. He was really pissed, and he's not here, so I'm talking about it on the air.
What all happened was you're like,
Seriously, my third graders and Lesser could do better than that.
But he was pissed because he thought I implied he was an idiot because I made fun of him for not being able to do math.
That is not subtraction, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, it wasn't even, my third graders could have solved the problem.
Because then when I said, what are you trying to insinuate, you said nothing. If you weren't, you would have responded back, I'm not insinuating anything. You just sat there real silent and watched your TV show.
I don't see the difference. I want you guys, you listeners out there, email us at goodbadgeeky@gmail.com.
We had an email on Tuesday, March 11th.
That you wrote.
And tell us who you think is right in this situation.
To be honest, I read his email, and it seemed like a cross between a fake email and a hate mail.
Hey, guys. Casual reader here. I wanted to say something to you for to Nick Nitro.
He's not even a real listener.
Alan, sir, he is calling you out.
I just said I wanted to delete it and delete out the recycle bin because I read it, and it sounded like a cross between a fake email and hate mail.
It was freaking addition. He couldn't do addition.
Yes, but it's the way you said it. There's a difference. Like, when I say something sarcastic.
If it was calculus.
See, but you're saying it in a very condescending manner more than it's a joke.
Now we return to email.
This is from Jackie. He goes, hey, oh man, I just want to say that Nick is probably the heart and soul of the show. When he leaves for even one weekend, he must resort to simply listening to a podcast by Jimmy. It is painful to say the least. Nick, please don't ever leave us again all like that, or at least don't ever leave us alone with Jimmy again. The guy just seems like a complete jerk who resorts to picking on Nick because Jimmy only wishes he could be half the man Nick is. Don't ever stoop to his level, though, Nick. Realize that it's a battle of wits with Jimmy is unfair, seeing as often when it comes to it, Jimmy is an unarmed man. Oh, and Nick, keep up the great work.
Fuck you, bitch!
Sorry.
Okay.
That was loud.
Well, I think the funny part is that you're mad at her, but you send the show for people to write in. Uh-huh. And so far, two people have written in.
Both friends of Nick's, disclaimer.
Yeah, but I've never asked them to.
I know, but it kind of made me mad because I'm totally not a jerk. You're at least as mean to me as I am to you. And I was just having fun. I was teasing you. Anything negative I said about Nick, I knew he was going to listen to it right away.
See, but after comments like the thing about the idiot thing, it's like you purposely trying to push fun. So right now, I'm not going to defend you right now. After that email, I'm not.
After what email? It was a joke email, you know that. I was teasing you because of the Joss Whedon Battlestar thing. Whatever, Jackie, you're a stupid bitch. I don't care.
Jackie, I still love you. I do think that was a little bit harsh, though.
Yeah.
But Jackie, though, I thank you for doing what Jimmy asked.
And writing in.
That's right.
So what now, do you say to the nice listener who writes
evidently,
in? Even though when you tell her to write in, you say,
Fuck you, bitch.
No.
Evidently, you were so crappy that
yeah.
She didn't realize that I was here. So,
snap.
I don't know if that's good for me or.
Let's move on. Leave a lot of news.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that to you as a compliment, John.
We have a lot of news and a lot of reviews because it's been like almost week and a half, 2 weeks since we recorded a show. Even though it doesn't seem like that to people since.
Because the way we posted it. Yeah.
Yeah. But. What? Okay. Sorry. I was looking at the article. Nick,
you want me to get the news I have? Because I don't think
go for it.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
James Cromwell, who plays the pig lover in Babe, will be playing George Bush Sr. in Oliver Stone's biopic, W.
Which play is about, W?
Well, I was going to get to that here in a second. Apparently, Elizabeth Banks is playing Laura Bush,
cool.
And Josh Brolin from No Country for Old Men is George W.
Huh.
Which, I did not know that, and I went back a little bit further in the archives because there was a lot of stuff I missed in the week, and that was one of them. One of them is the kid from Love Actually, the little boy. He's playing, it's supposed to be a big summer. I think the movie's going to bomb, but
probably.
Tintin, The Adventures of Tintin, it's like based out of a French comic book. This is a kid from Love Actually. He's going to play Tintin, which I think he's a horrible Tintin, but that's just me. And then Tina Fey is going to be in a new movie by Ricky Gervais, the guy who created Extras in Office, called The Moment or This Side of Truth. And it's about a dystopian future. Not dystopian. What's a perfect world?
Utopian?
A utopian, thank you. Uh-huh.
Dystopian is the opposite.
Yeah, that's right. I realized that after I said it. Utopian, where there's no such thing as a lie.
And Ricky Gervais actually stumbles upon creating a lie, and everyone else sort of, the whole rest of the world just shatters upon such, like the results of it. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Politics are created, religion, yeah, everything just stems from that one little lie.
Okay.
But Tina Fey and all kinds of crazy stuff. Beyond that, the only thing I have to say, I have news-wise, is Tim Allen's directing a movie called Crazy on the Outside, and it stars Jeanine Trofford-Horn, J.K. Simmons, Sigourney Weaver. A lot of people he worked with on Galaxy Quest, and he's writing the script, too. And they're actually, the buzz on it has been really good, which is odd, because Tim Allen usually does shitty movies, like, 9/10 of the time.
And is someone going to be dressed as a Santa Claus?
I don't know, but at some point, I figure, actually, I think it's based after his life, like, him being, like, a druggie and everything like that. And somehow he becomes like a showbiz guy.
And then
on a crappy sitcom. Yeah. Actually, I like Home Improvement. I'm not going to knock that.
I did. Yeah.
Me too.
And the last news I don't think you have, and we sort of talked about briefly, is Dirty Harry apparently might be coming back in a movie called Gran Torino.
Cool.
Which is very badass. So I hope the rumor is true.
That's
all I have.
I got all kinds of stuff. Some of these you gave to me, some of these I found on my own. First, cancellations. Jericho is officially canceled.
It's canceled. It's gone.
Didn't they bring it back?
It probably won't go to cable because it costs so money. Although Sci-Fi is looking at possibly bringing it back. They've also discussed doing a movie or a comic book. There's a lot of different ways. I'd really be surprised if no incarnation of Jericho ever came. But whether it'll be like a film or a TV thing, maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, I've heard rumors that it might be like a DVD movie.
Something,
Have you even heard theater? But it's more DVD movie, but even then it's just like...
I'm a little disappointed because when the word came down that Jericho was officially canceled, Sci-Fi stopped airing the reruns of season one.
Yeah, which I don't understand that.
I mean, either, because I had not seen season one, so I've been TiVoing season two, but I've been watching season one. And now there's 7 episodes that haven't aired yet before I can start season two, and I'm a little frustrated. So Sci-Fi Channel, air it. Also, the Amy Sherman Palladino show. What was it called?
The Return of Jezebel James.
Yeah, The Return of Jezebel James. It's been canceled after only
it's
3
gone.
Episodes. I'm a little sad. But,
3 episodes. I watched that one episode, and Parker Posey was just not...
She's no Lauren Graham, I have to say. And she's trying to play the same character that Lauren Graham played for 7 years on Gilmore Girls, and that's why it didn't work.
Yeah, it was a little weird, I thought. I mean, I like Lauren Ambrose, but...
Yeah.
Parker was a little weird.
And Friday Night Lights news, it looked like NBC was passing on him, but DirecTV was going to buy him and then rerun on NBC. Now NBC is considering renewing it for a 3rd season. So Friday Night Lights may get yet another chance, which is good because it's a good show.
I've only seen the movie. That's it.
I have not seen the movie.
I heard the movie is very good.
I heard the movie is great.
I don't think the movie has anything to do with the show, necessarily.
No, it's the same football team, characters. Same town. It's just
yeah.
The same coach.
I mean, yeah.
Now, is there a kid that gets paralyzed in the movie?
I think so.
I think it does.
I saw it when it first came out.
Well,
so
both of them are based after the book.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is apparently the guy who wrote it did like a Cameron Crowe where he went to the town and they let him have all access pass. And when the book came out, the town got really pissed because it sort of demoralized the ways the people treated football like it's God's green earth.
Well, the growing up in West Jefferson, where football is worshipped,
I agree.
Don't have any problem with making it look like football should not be worshipped because it shouldn't.
Yeah,
but I agree.
Casting notes: Jerry O'Connell is joining the cast of Samantha Who. That's pretty exciting. I like Samantha Who, and I like Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell.
You remember the movie Joe's Apartment?
Yeah.
It's Jerry O'Connell. He's also played Koosh in Jerry Maguire.
There you go.
Okay.
Koosh.
Michelle Trachtenberg of Buffy fame is joining the cast of Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
Yay! The youngest sister, Juliet, on Dirty Sexy Money is being demoted to reoccurring character. She has not been picked up for next season.
Yeah, as a full-time cast member. Well, apparently, I didn't know this until I was reading that article while I was telling him, is that apparently she had some kind of overdose of some sort, and so they wrote her off one episode.
Okay.
And then
her character is finally going to branch out on her own, find her own place in the world, and move out of her parents' house. So it kind of makes sense with where her character's going that it'll work for the show.
But it's so funny though. Like, any other character though tried to branch out, we would follow them and find out what they're doing with their life.
Like a spinoff or something.
Like it's a spinoff, but with still within the own premise of the show.
Or stay in the show. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I like the show, but I'm okay with that.
Dr. Sarah Tancredi on Prison Break was killed at the beginning of the season, which made me very upset. A lot of fans felt really cheated by her death that we didn't even see because the actress did not return. They have signed her to come back and star on next season of Prison Break. So, her death was faked or something, which is okay.
They pulled a Seven where they put her head in a box.
Okay.
But you apparently don't only see
it. It must not have been her. Actually, we didn't even see the head. Like, we saw the back of the head. And the couple episodes they'd shown her, like, captured, we just saw the back of her head because the actress wasn't available. So the way they got rid of her was very cheated because she was, like, the true love of the main character. So I'm glad they're bringing her back. I was very upset that she was disappearing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would be sort of happy if I liked the show, but even at the same time, even if I liked the show, I would think it's a little...
Well, the only reason... See, yes, it is a little bit formula, but even at the time...
It's not formula. It's like fucking Dallas, man.
Yeah, it's machine or whatever, yeah. It's a cheat. But
horrible
because,
fucking cheat.
But because that character is so awesome, I even was so upset that she was gone, that I'm like, I'll forgive them something to bring her back, you know? Whatever. A little gossip for a second. Pam's back with James Gunn. Jenna Fisher from The Office.
I have not found, and I haven't looked everywhere for that rumor online.
It's only a rumor, it is not for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, usually I can even find rumors online.
Is it a rumor like you just heard walking down the street?
Yes. No.
Well, actually, a friend of ours actually told us, and I'm still trying to look for it, and I can't find it anywhere. Because I think that those two are a cute couple. I really do. Like, it actually, I was like, wow, I really thought that would be a Hollywood couple that would actually stay the course. And
yeah.
And he fucking didn't.
The guy who plays Hilo with an unpronounceable name. I know what the name is. I just can't say it. Battlestar Galactica.
Waka, laka, uka, maka.
Whatever. He plays Hilo in Battlestar Galactica. He is joining the cast of Dollhouse, which is Joss Whedon, Buffy the Vampire Slayer creator's new show starring Eliza Dushku. So that's exciting because I like Hilo.
And also, speaking of rumors, there's rumors that...
Well, he's not rumored. He's signed, I thought.
No, he's signed. But casting-wise, also, three other people from the Joss Whedon series might
the
be...
Buffyverse.
Might be cast. James Marsters as Spike, and who's...
Amy Adams.
Amy Adams, and who's...
Charisma Carpenter.
Yeah, Charisma. I'm going to start with a C.
CC. All great actors. I'd like
she almost was in Celebrity Apprentice.
You told me that.
I watched it. It was on a Mike Acellio's vodcast, and he was like interviewing for the Paley Fest that Buffy was in. And she's like, "So I almost heard that you were like in Celebrity Apprentice." And she's like, "Yeah, I was." And I decided it was not great for my career at this moment in time. Mm. I know what you're saying. No, I didn't mean that. It's a good show. I watched the show. I love the show. By the way, we'll talk about that later, too, because I have words to say about that show.
Also, production has begun on the two-hour prequel to Battlestar Galactica called Caprica, set
cool
50 years prior
Star
to
fans.
The series. Follows two rival families with backstabbing and passion in the world of the 12 colonies. The Adama family will be one of them. One can only assume that Colonel Adama's father, the famous lawyer, will be one of the stars. Who we never saw him on screen. We just heard about him a lot. So I think it'd be very interesting. I'm excited about the TV movie, and hopefully it'll spin off into a series the way Battlestar did. But I'm excited.
Good for you guys, I hope.
Also, Empire...
I didn't know what to say to that.
Empire Records released their top 50 shows of all time this week.
Now, all top 50. Number 50.
And now here's number 50 with your top 50 requests.
I'm going to look at 50. I'm kind of scanning. Quantum Leap, Prison Break. Yeah.
Next Generation.
Veronica Mars, Deep Space Nine.
At what number?
47, but it's still there. It should be number one. Sex and the City.
I thought Battlestar Galactica should be number one.
No, that should be in the top five, though. The original Star Trek, Next Generation, and Deep Space Nine. Three Star Treks.
Wait, what's Next Generation, though?
Number 37. I don't see Voyager, so I think Next Generation is the highest rated of the Star Trek series, which I can see. Band of Brothers, I'm skipping some of these. Flying Circus, Monty Python.
Yeah.
Kirby Enthusiasm, Father Ted. Alias, Frasier, CSI, Babylon 5, Dexter, ER.
Futurama, I think.
We're getting higher up in the rankings. 6 Feet Under,
what's
Futurama.
Dexter?
What's that?
Dexter was number 30.
Okay. That is a good show.
That is a good
Towers.
Show.
I'm going to review. I'll review it when we get to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks, The Office, The Shield, Angel, number 21.
Yes.
Scrubs is 19. Arrested Development, South Park, Heroes, Firefly got number 14.
I personally think Heroes is a little premature at this point. Yeah, I would wait till third season.
Yeah, but I like the show. Included. Battlestar Galactica comes in at number 13 in this list. Family Guy, Seinfeld, The X-Files. Oh, let's
you totally skipped Space.
I'm sorry. I've never heard of Space. We'll do the top 10.
Space
number 10
is awesome.
Is Space, series 1 and 2? I don't know.
With Simon Pegg from Run Fat Boy. Yeah. It's the series that the guys who did those two
from
movies
Shaun
started.
The Dead.
Yeah, Shaun of the Dead. Okay. Edgar White, Nick Frost.
Okay, well, that was number 10.
Yeah.
Number 9 is The X-Files. Number 8 is The Wire, which just ended. Supposedly great. Mm. Number 7 is Friends, of course. Number 6 is 24.
Of course.
Number 5 is Lost. Number 4 is The West Wing. I love those choices there, by the way. Hmm. Number 3 is The Sopranos. Number 2, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, ranks number 2.
Wow.
And number 1 is, drumroll please, The Simpsons.
Yeah.
See, it sort of deserved it because it's just been on for so long. Mm-hmm. It's like the South Park episode says. There's no way you can not, like, fucking beat The Simpsons in anything anymore, like, really.
Now, Yu-Gi-Oh! Has their own top 10 list, and I kind of like it. It's a lot of the same, but a little bit different. Number 10 mm-hmm. is The Price is Right, which was not included in the
I'm a little surprised 50. By that one. I mean, yeah, I love Bob Barker.
I know, yeah. But Drew's kind of ruined the show.
I mean, I thought I would think they were going to just do, like, actual TV, like, plot-based shows.
That the rest of them are. Number 9 was South Park. Good choice. Number 8 was The Simpsons.
Hmm.
Number 7 was Freaks and Geeks.
That's a great show.
Yeah,
Rogan.
I've heard that's great. Number 6 was also not in Empire's Top 50, The Muppet Show.
Yeah.
That's a fucking classic.
Number 5, Arrested Development, which I love, and I've always said it's the best sitcom ever. Not always, but since I saw it. Number 4, The Sopranos. Number 3, Battlestar Galactica. Number 2, The Wire. And number 1... Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
See, you people gotta fuck.
I love
Battlestar Galactica is a great show on the list.
Battlestar and Buffy.
That's why
I'm gonna
go with Empire more because they put
Battlestar
at 35.
13. Still right near the top.
Yes,
and Buffy was in the top 5 both times.
And Buffy beat both of them.
Yeah.
Top 3. Well, Buffy is an awesome show.
I was surprised. I went to this girl's party last night. She had Buffy season 6 in there. Had a little Buffy going on. I was like, you don't look like a Buffy girl to me.
Well, it says the market leaders and that. The 3 best shows market-wise on television are also in the top. The only 3 that were in both top 10 lists is Buffy, The Sopranos, and The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And they
Simpsons
were also a TV Guide's list.
Yeah, it's a juggernaut.
Our cable went out last night for like 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Season we decided, yeah, we DC. Popped in season 5.
That's a great year. Sideshow Bob.
Cape Fear, when it is Cape Fear. Oh,
I love
God.
That. He's like, what about the tattoo on your chest that says Die Bart Die? Oh, no, that's German for the Bart V.
We were listening to some of the commentary and stuff.
Isn't the commentary great?
It's great. I mean, just talking about how much the ad lib and
sometimes
all that stuff.
Those sets better than some of the shows.
The line where, when they're up on the top, they're like back in time and like Marge and Homer up on top of the. Not like
is that
the Springfield thing.
Episode?
I can't remember where he's like bashing in the weather transmitter.
Oh yeah.
And he goes, "You got real pretty hair." They start dying laughing as they're watching it because they know it's an ad lib.
Honestly, like I love The Simpsons, but sometimes when I get it, I don't watch the episode right away, which is a normal show. I put the commentary on because, well, at least up until season 9. The guys who created The Critic, Mike Reiss and Al and Mal Jean, those guys and Matt Groening were all hilarious. And then probably around season 5 or 6, they started getting the cast to do the episodes too. And Dan Castanella, if you get him to start talking.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Yeah. I am so smart. S-M-R-T. S-M-A-R-T. That's an ad-lib for him, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And also, like, there's one part where he
that was Conan's last season.
Yeah, season 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, hey,
but he did the
Conan's
commentary.
Well off now.
Yeah, Conan's fine.
Conan, he did one of my favorite episodes, which is the monorail.
Yeah.
That season 5 or is that season 4?
4.
That's 4.
It's season 4.
Oh, yeah. Monorail's a good one.
Monorail.
That was great, because... they start talking about, like, how they... That's the season that Homer starts getting really dumb.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He gets incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're rambling about
We can talk about this forever.
Well, and to be fair, normally if a show airs the night we record the podcast, none of us get to watch it before. Mm-hmm. But before, while we were waiting for John to come up here, Nick and I already watched tonight's Simpsons.
Well, let's talk about that after we got to Good, Bad, and Geeky.
Let's record
it.
So, Lemony Apprentice, episode 5 of 6, the penultimate episode.
That is mm-hmm. right. It's very cool.
Penultimate means next to last. I read Lemony Snicket.
Thank you, Jimmy. And we'll be right back right after this.
Wow.
Hi, folks. This is JT from the GigCast, and I'm the host of a new daily podcast to raise money for a very worthy cause. It's called JT Ukes at 40, and on it I talk with my kids, play some music, and basically talk about my first 40 years and what I've learned. And it's all to help raise money to buy me a ukulele. What? No. No, I did. No, I told you it was a selfish podcast. No, I did. Anyway, folks, if you could just go to nightgig.com/JT, listen to the podcast, tell your friends, and, send me money, and we could all have a happy, happy day. Remember, that's nightgig.com/JT. Hope to see you.
I mean, previously on The Good, the Bad, and the Geeky Celebrity Apprentice, who the hell cares? It's not like there were... I was there or anything. I mean, I was doing something that mattered, you know, handling a giant fucking J. Edgar. Anyway, there's 3 contestants left, and Jimmy sucks as the judge. That's all you need to know. I don't think you suck.
Okay, Jimmy, what's our next task?
Well, Nick only left me notes for 3 tasks. He hasn't chosen the last 2 yet. I finally get some creative control! This is exciting! What should I use this newfound power to make you plebs to?
Don't get a god complex on us, Jimbo. Only Oprah makes that work.
But it doesn't stop you from trying.
Listen here, you Johnny on the spot. You know,
I got it. I will make you guys lay me an interview with the greatest living actor, the man behind the legend, the Judy Garland of our time.
Angela Jolie.
Tom Hanks.
Eric Bana. No, Avery Brooks.
Who?
Yeah, I never heard of him either.
You know the Avery Books, American History X, the Spencer series, Roots, the Gift, not Ring Bell. Captain Benjamin Sisko on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Damn it, James, I'm a geek, but not a loser. When will you get it through your head? Nobody cares about Star Trek.
On the other hand, it should be an easy interview to get.
No, I refuse. It's way too geeky, even for me. We'll lose what few listeners we even have.
Hulk, agree. You have to do the task that I assign you. I'm in charge of the show. Besides, I gave you this apprentice script. Follow it. See, John, your next line is, "Oh, goody, I love Avery Brooks."
Come on, John. He did put a lot of work into making this script a bit seem realistic.
Fuck his script. I'm not doing it.
But, John...
I sense some, tension between the two of you. Some underlying...
Look, Jimmy, I'm sorry, but this whole thing is a joke. I'll pick the next task.
You can't. You're a competitor.
But I have a great idea. Being slightly psychic, something I've never publicly revealed before, and probably never mentioned again, you will soon be getting a few emails from hilarious comedian and all-around great guy, Pat Godwin. This episode will air after those emails, so why don't we do a little psyching up and create something to honor this fine American? I love you, Pat Godwin.
Oh, sounds good to me!
That's not how this is done! I need to come up with a task. Create rules, give you a time limit.
We'll be back here tomorrow afternoon with our tribute to the legendary Pat Godwin. Sound good to everyone?
Yes!
Sure!
John, this is all wrong! I'm in charge!
Enjoy this great song from me, The Good, the Bad, and the Geeky Celebrity Apprentice. We'll be right back!
Stop! We're not taking a break! I will stand for...
Well, boys, I hate to leave the company. My baby just called me on the phone. From the sound of her voice, I simply have no choice. I left something turned on at home. Well, I just put a quarter in the jukebox, and it ain't halfway through my favorite song. But if I don't leave right now, my whole place might burn down, 'cause I left something turned on at home. It ain't the stove, It ain't the heater, she's hotter and a whole lot sweeter. All day long, she's been there alone. Right now, her arms are open, the house is probably smoking. Cause I left something turned on at home. Hey waitress, could you cancel that order? But if it's too late, I'll take it to go. And boys, I gotta run before somebody calls 911. Cause I left something turned on at home. It ain't the stove, it ain't the heater. She's hotter and a whole lot sweeter. All day long, she's been there alone. Right now her arms are open, the house is probably smoking. Cause I left something turned on at home. Right now her arms are open, the house is probably smoking. Cause I left something turned on at home. Yeah, I left something turned on at home.
And we're back. I'm Jimmy, host of The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky Celebrity Apprentice. I tasked our final three contestants to honor a personal hero of mine, Pat Godwin.
Well, didn't John come up with the task?
Show, shut up!
All right, then, but we'll not hear the first half
I'll
of the show.
I'll fix it. Note to self. Record lines making it seem like the task was my idea and edit them in later. Anyway, as I am in charge and I created this task, I am excited to see the results. Now, who wants to go first?
I do. I created this beautiful bust of Pat Godwin.
A bust is supposed to be of a head.
Ha ha, John, you're an idiot. A bust is a chest.
No, you moron. A bust is also a sculpture of the head.
Then why do they call it a bust? I mean, a bust is brass, not a face, duh.
Enough, both of you. Phil.
That's Dr. Phil. Thank you very much.
No one cares. This is a podcast. An audio podcast. No one can see your obscene creation, thank God.
What are you trying to say, Jimmy?
Jesus, Baldy. He's saying that you lost.
I'm not saying that. Yeah, I haven't seen the other two projects, but given that you failed this task, since I can't use your product on the air, you probably didn't win. Ha ha. Hawk, since you think this is so funny, why don't you go next? What did you come up with for the illustrious Pat Godwin? Hawk, right, haiku.
Oh, this is going to be good. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
I am the host, John. Only I get to decide when we hear Hawk's haiku.
Fine, whatever. I'm bored.
Okay, Hawk. Let's hear it. Patrick J. Godwin. Funny, noble, kind-hearted. A hero to all.
That was rich. And you used the word A, Hawk. I didn't think you even knew what an article was.
Fuck you! Hawk, no parts speech!
Parts of speech, Hawk.
Be nice, John. We haven't heard yours yet. Hawk, that wasn't half bad. Is J really his middle initial? Hawk, not no.
Okay, it's time to wrap this puppy up. Hand me my guitar. I wrote a song.
Of course you did.
Hey, shut up. Sit back and listen to me win this competition.
Just sing already.
I'm getting to it. All right. Let me tell you about the story of great Pat Godwin. He's a singer, songwriter, and a comedian. If you listen to his stuff, you'll know what I mean. He's so successful, he's probably raking in the green. Cash, that is. Dollars and cents. Now, Pat
Godwin. John, let me stop you right there.
Why? I got six more verses to
go. Because you've done this over and over. We're tired of the Beverly Hillbillies thing.
Lay off the hillbillies. It's a classic song.
Yes, it is, but you've overused it. I have no choice but to declare Hawk the winner. Yay! Hawk win! Hawk happy!
That is not fair. My song was way better than his crappy poem.
And Dr. Phil is the loser since he didn't create anything.
Now wait a minute, there's a goddamn money.
You know, you don't speak for the sake of the good, the bad, you let him win.
The good, the bad, and the geeky. Apologizes Mr. Pat Godwin. I seriously love your stuff, and I'm really sorry that Jimmy and company took a giant shit all over you. Dear God, please don't hate us.
Yay!
Hey, we're back right here on the good, the bad, and the geeky, and we got some reviews.
Oh, we've got some.
We got a lot of reviews, man.
Real quick, Silent Live, Jenna Hill's episode, the last of the four marathons.
I didn't get to see it.
Oh. Are you serious? It was by far.
I don't think so. Because it aired like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah. They may rerun it, because although there's a new one next week, it's Christopher Walken.
They'll rerun it, I'm sure.
But Jonah
actually,
Hill,
I think it's the best they've done this year.
Well, I don't know. Tina Fey's was pretty good.
From the break, I mean, coming back.
That's what
break.
I mean. Tina Fey's is the first one back.
See,
it definitely
didn't he sing in the opening?
Yes.
I think I saw that for some reason. And I mean, then I started doing something else.
It was a good singer, but it was a good sketch.
Well, and what Nick and I were talking about is they actually wrote for him. Instead of the last two hosts they'd not written for.
Well, you can tell, like, they came in, they all had to contribute ideas with the cast, whatever. Yeah. But it, like he's saying, it really felt like they actually wrote for his strengths.
They played to his strengths.
Yeah.
And like before, it was like, well, let's just write a sketch and throw them into it because we don't know what to really... Like Amy Adams... The girl's mad talented, and she was a good
crap. Oh, I said earlier during the news when we were talking about Joss actors, I said Amy Adams, I meant Amy Acker, sorry.
Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that either.
You know,
Amy Acker ate my hamster.
Mm-hmm. She did eat my hamster. Means. I don't know either, but it's, there's t-shirts.
Yes, there's weird, yeah, it's fucked
I love
up.
Amy Acker.
I don't know.
Okay, so anyway.
Awesome. Saturday Live, Jonah Hill kicked ass. I can't wait for Christopher Walken. I think that was going to kick ass. Uh-huh.
Maybe he'll have some nice champagne to go along with the evening. We don't know.
I have the review.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what the opposite of Christopher Walken is?
Christopher Reeves. Yeah. That's so
today's bad joke has been brought to you by paraplegics everywhere.
Hey! It was Jimmy didn't tell the bad joke this time.
That's right.
We've got a whole bunch of premieres and finales and all kinds of shit. Series premiere, The Return of Jezebel James, which is already canceled. I liked it. Diane Weiss.
You would.
Guest starred as the mom, which I thought was fun. It did bother me that they aired the first two episodes on the same night, and the pilot, she lived in a house. In the second episode, she lives in an apartment, and they still pretended like she'd always lived in the apartment.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fine that I understand the pilot's going to have some differences, but don't air them back-to-back where in one episode she's in the house, the next one she's in an apartment. It bothered me. But it's gone, so it doesn't matter. We talked briefly about Unhitched last week or the week before, but I like it.
It's not a show I... You know what I mean? If it's on and I haven't watched it, I may catch it or something else. I mean, because the sad thing, I think, honestly... It's a great theme song,
and I love
Quincy Jones' daughter.
Yeah,
I think the show she should have a little bit more smarter comedy, not like a Farley Brothers comedy.
Well, I thought the Farley Brothers did a pretty good job. Well, Misguided also premiered. I like Misguided.
I do not.
Really?
Yeah, I well.
Did you have me save that episode? For
I'm still.
You like Chris Parnell?
Well, I want to still try to watch the episodes and give it a chance because always tell me I never give a show a chance, or you always say, "Do you give it a chance?"
Yeah.
I'm trying to give it a chance. It's just very uneven to me. Every episode
it is a little uneven.
Uneven, and
but the best episode that's aired yet you haven't seen. It's on the.
That's
TV.
True,
it's
and
good.
I'm going to watch it. So I'm hoping that turns. That's the thing, Buffy. I didn't like the first few episodes of Buffy. Then one episode of Buffy, it turned it all around and I became a huge fan. So,
yeah.
Well, part of what worked for the best episode that's aired so far, which was the prank episode, was they didn't even bother to mess with the students because the students dragged the show down. It should just be about the faculty.
Yeah.
I think. But, you know, the lead actress does a great job. I forget her name. And then Chris Parnell's wonderful.
Oh, the lead actress plays... Judy Greer.
From Arrested Development.
Yeah,
she was also in The Specials, played Danger
Girl.
Yeah.
funny movie. Other series premiere, Lewis Black, The Root of All Evil premiered. To be honest, the
I
first
like
episode,
it.
The Catholic Church versus Oprah, was a disappointment.
Huh.
And the second episode wasn't that great, but Beer versus Weed last week was pretty damn funny. So I'm hopeful about it. It's YouTube versus... Oh, shit, I don't remember what YouTube's versus this week, but we'll see.
Was that the one with Patton Oswalt, the one with Beer versus Weed, or is
no,
that
that's going to be the YouTube one.
I will watch that one because I love
it.
I do, too.
Yeah. I guess Kenny vs. Spinning came back. I didn't watch it, John.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it? I already
What the hell was it?
Season pass.
It was who could lose the most weight.
Who won?
Spinny did. Yeah.
Did it include him pooping a lot and stuff?
Yeah.
Lex is.
Well.
That's a good point.
It was fun. I mean, they were wearing like the sweatsuits and stuff and running on treadmills and trying to sweat everything out. And then... Spinny was eating all this fruit and like to make him shit, but Kenny went and bought this like liquid, basically to stop, like butt plug, basically liquid, and he was like injecting it into his fruit. So he was eating it, thinking he wasn't like gonna shit. He's like, man, I ate so much fruit, and I'm not shitting. And
is that why I'm pooping more often? Because I've been eating more fruit?
Probably. Could be.
Probably is.
Because I normally poop like once a week.
Yeah, the dude is like a fucking lizard.
Yeah.
Brandon said that, and that's a great quote. Brandon, a friend of ours.
I fucking shit twice a day.
Thank you! He's a fucking abnormal freak, dude!
I know it's abnormal, but I go like once or twice a week.
Like
at
first.
I've been going a lot more often, but I have more fruit.
His whole thing is like, yeah, you're gonna cover
the toilet.
Something's wrong if I don't, maybe once a day, but something's wrong if I don't go at all.
Really?
No, yeah. Yeah.
I start feeling upset and
going for 4 or 5 days.
It was like, I've not pooed for the day. I'm angry!
when I do poo, like,
I don't read unless I poop.
Well, yeah, but once or twice a week, I spend like 20 minutes in the bathroom.
No, yeah, I gave him up. I love you, Beth Cooper, and the fucker. He's like, at first it just bothered me a bit because that's just weird.
Then I took it
and
the
your
bathroom.
Grubby, shitty hands are all over.
Why? The shit's not touching my hands, I'm touching the book.
I understand that, Jimmy, but I don't care if you're the
shit
fucking.
Shit particles
cleanest.
Floating around.
Exactly. I don't care if you're the.
It's like the. It's like the sign on it.
Yeah! So George buys the book and they won't look.
It's been flagged.
They buy the book because it was in the bathroom. Yeah,
so that's why I'm just like.
I usually read my newspaper in the bathroom.
Yeah, and I just asked him, like, you're going to read that in there? He's like, well, yeah, I read all my books in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, Jesus. Oh, well, I do too. Okay.
I could
literally only shit for like a minute.
Really?
And then the rest of the half hour I'm reading. No, I'm just
kidding. No, I shit for the
whole
half hour.
Isn't that sad? The older you do get, you do sort of do that, like your downbeats, and it's like...
It's...
Oh, I used to sit. Yeah, I'm like, how longer that takes. Anyway, let's go back to premieres. Other Comedy Central shows, Little Bush came back. I think it's funny. I liked it before. I liked it now.
Now, Jimmy, you like little boobs. Do you like Little Bush, too?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, my girlfriend's 4'10". Oh, that was so mean. I'm sorry,
she got
Morgan.
Some great fucking
I'm
digs
sorry,
on this guy.
I'm sorry, Morgan, if you're listening. She
got some great fucking
I told her that, and she's like, I don't think I was different than normal. I'm like, yes, you were.
You were fucking
digs.
Awesome.
She was awesome.
Well, he snores. He snores, and that's not bad.
I usually sit in my stomach so she doesn't have to listen to it.
Well, right. Well,
she says it doesn't bother me.
The best part is she likes Star Wars over Star Trek. At least Jimmy,
she doesn't know Star Trek. She's never watched.
Right.
Star Trek.
She's not. Yeah, but
sorry.
The best
she
part
does
is,
like, might as well just not even worry about.
Yeah.
Star
the best part is though. Best part is though. I was like, hey, Morgan, if she, if Jimmy ever goes, oh, like during a snore,
because I yawn like Jimmy.
And I say, you know what you should say, right?
I lost it.
I say, if he ever does that, you should tell him, Chewie, is that you?
Yeah.
And she goes, that's totally what I was going to freaking say. I'm like, and Chewie's like, aww, Star Wars lover. And he got really mad. Then he was sitting on three chairs. It was really funny.
I was sitting on three chairs.
I don't know how he did it, but he did it.
Because I was sitting on one, and my legs were each on another one that were, like, held up. Anyway.
Little
Bush was good. South Park came back.
Oh, we watched it here. Cat people.
Yeah, look into that. The first two episodes were the AIDS versus cancer thing with Magic Johnson. I have to admit, I was a little disappointed. And the Britney episode was just dumb with Britney having her head blown off. But yes, the cat people one, Major Boobage, was back to being good South Park. It was hilarious.
And the funny thing is, when I came back, I was like the only one laughing at some of the stuff, and it's like no one's ever seen.
We couldn't
heavy
figure
metal.
Out. Yeah, we couldn't.
It was
figure
a parody
out
of heavy metal, which I have never seen.
I
now
never
I want
seen it either.
To.
So
yeah, it, seriously, if you want like NC-17 like porn animation, that's seriously.
There were
it.
So many boobs in that episode. I can't believe they got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
now a couple of my friends at Champs who are fans of the movie Heavy Metal said the best line of the whole thing was Stan's dad popping at the end going, eh, you never get a good look at her tits anyway.
No, that's the thing. That's true because
you don't in the cartoon and you don't in the movie.
Yeah, in the movie Heavy Metal, you don't, like, I think one time you get some full frontal, like, boobage.
Oh.
But the rest of it, the rest of it, though, I mean, you hear them fucking and you see cocks and shit, but it's, it's fucked up. Anyway.
Mm. Anyway. Greek had their season premiere. I enjoy Greek. It's an ABC Family Channel show, which at first made me think, oh, it's going to be like Family Eyes, but it's the new family now, and it's not at all like...
There's perverts and death.
There is. I like Greek.
I was going to say, they play some stuff on there that you wouldn't think would be ABC
Family. No, Greek doesn't seem like ABC
Family. He sort of got me into comedy.
I mean, Kyle XY, that's a good show.
They play reruns of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I mean, that show can have some,
that's what they said. The new family's got stuff for everybody. They just air the riskier stuff later at night.
Yeah.
But Greek's back, just as good as everyone was. But I miss Lonely Girl. What was it? Lonely Girl 17? Is that the girl's name that got really big on YouTube with all of her podcasts? She was on Greek last season for like a whole bunch of episodes as the main character's girlfriend, Jen K. And she did guest star in the premiere, but briefly, and they made me think she's not going to be in the show anymore because they broke up. It was sad. But Kyle XY did their season finale this week because Greek took over the time slot of Kyle XY. So Kyle XY did the finale and then Greek did the premiere. And I liked Kyle XY. I mean, it was very sad because they did the prom and it was very like bittersweet and stuff. But then Kyle's girlfriend got kidnapped at the end. They actually had me starting to like Jesse XX, and I hated Jesse XX. But by the end of the season, I'm starting to like her. So we'll see. Which is like the female version of Kyle XY.
Gotcha.
They're created in a laboratory. They don't have belly buttons, and they have superpowers basically.
And boobs.
And boobs. She does have boobs. October Road also aired that season finale. It was good. Nick made the right decision.
I did.
Not you, Nick. Main character Nick on the show. I did think it was very sad, though, that the fat chick that's dating, like, the
big boobies!
There's, like, a fat chick on the show. It was cool. Huh. But, like, the womanizer, like, ladies' man, she's started dating her, fat. And it was, like, it was kind of like it was a shock to everybody because he went out with all the hot girls and then he chose her. Mm. And the couple was really working for me. I liked it, you know? I was really feeling it. And then his ex-girlfriend came back to the town, and she kissed him, and of course the fat chick drove by and saw it.
Yeah.
And so she went and slept with Sean Gunn from Gilmore Girls, and this geek. And so then he, like, gets beaten up, and she visits him in the hospital, and her boyfriend. And he's like, yeah, she kissed me. I should have told you this ahead of time, but she was in town, and she kissed me, but I stopped it because I knew the only person I wanted to be kissing was you. And he thought she was going to be mad, and then when she told him she cheated, then he lost it and dumped her. And I'm like, that's really sad that she ruined the relationship, but oh well. The only part that made me mad
fatties.
Was Nick, the main character's girlfriend, kissed his brother. That sucked.
Damn. That sucked for me.
Mm-hmm. I did.
For me.
Also airing season finale this week, Celebrity Apprentice. Did you watch it, John?
You know, I know who won. Good. And I haven't seen the last episode, but my dad actually watches it.
Oh.
My mom and dad watch it. And
they are going to do another edition, you know.
They, I know. My mom wanted Trace to win.
Everybody wanted fucking Trace to win.
And then my dad wanted Pierce to win. And I agree with my dad.
Yes, me too.
I mean, what do you guys think?
Pierce made more money than all the other contestants combined, consistently.
Pierce has that Trump attitude, you know, I don't care what everyone else
thinks. Well, to be honest, the unsociable part of him, he's British. They don't worry so much about manners. Cultural divide, whatever, get over it. But Nick the whole time was like, Trace better win. I'm going to be so mad if Pierce wins. And he got really pissed off that Pierce won. Yeah. I'm like, how could Pierce not win?
Okay, here's the thing. I understand totally why Pierce won, and I'm not mad at him for that. I think, though, in the long run, though, the whole purpose is, I mean, at least for them as celebrities, they're expanding contracts, their contacts, etc. I think Pierce, in the long run, hurt more than he did gain more for the charity.
On the table. I disagree. I think
because honestly, all those celebrities that all the celebrities combined have all been burned by Pierce to the point where only like one of them, aka like Carol or Lennox Lewis, like wanted to actually be friends or deal with Pierce outside, and no one else though wanted to deal with Pierce. That's like 10 people he could use for charity in the future for that same charity. Trace, on the other hand, got an overwhelming support from everyone, even fucking Lennox Lewis.
The contacts Pierce does make and keep are way higher rollers than all those
low
players. So he gets it where it counts, and he can make past that. I don't know. I just thought that there shouldn't even have been a discussion. Ivanka said, you know, Pierce, without the attitude, this would be a short discussion. I think it should have been a short discussion anyway. I think Pierce should have hands down been the winner.
I understand that totally. I'm not going to argue with the number first, because you're totally right. In the numbers game, Pierce totally fucking wins.
And it's a business show.
No, it is, and I totally understand that. But I mean, at the same time, because the way they edited it, they built it up that the underdog should have won, and in that case, he should have. But
now, see, I didn't think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Trace Adkins.
Oh, me too. The show made me love him.
Actually, the show made me a fan of. I actually downloaded his song.
Did it? The one that he sang?
Yeah, the one he sang. Because I bought the celebrity version that said the dollar goes to his charity. So
Yeah.
But, I mean, I totally understand that. I'm just saying, like, I just felt that was pretty shitty that they built it up that way. And
yeah.
Well, hey, what's 75 cents out of 99 is better than none.
That's true. Yeah. No, you're right. The one thing I did skip over earlier, series premiere, Canterbury Law. I watched, like, 20 minutes of it. It seemed good, but not really my alley, so I canceled it. My pass. They're calling it The House for lawyers.
I love The House.
I have not watched House yet.
And have you seen House before?
I've seen a couple episodes. I like it, yeah.
If Canterbury Law...
I like Hugh Laurie. He's really good,
I think you can catch up.
If you ever get a chance, get his British show, A Bit of Fry and Laurie.
Okay.
He's very musical. Yeah. And you would totally love his musical bits. It's pretty much like Monty Python, but with two guys.
Okay.
And they do a lot more musical bits, though, than they do sketches. But I
want to see that now.
Actually, I wouldn't mind getting on DVD. I know they have a Region 1 DVD out there for it, and it's pretty... some of the sketches alone, just, like, he does a dead-on, like, American, like, lounge band act, where he's playing himself, like, in all the roles, and he over... Yeah, it's hilarious. I don't remember that much. My brain also cannot work tonight. I'm saying, like, Utopia, Dystopia, fuck, man. I can't remember fucking Christmas.
Cornucopia.
Tropicana. Tropicana. Or no, I just said that. Fuck! See? Damn it! God! Son of a...
Tapioca.
Tapioca.
Okay. Well, I also want to review Smallville, because it came back, and it's been so fucking awesome.
He has a huge fucking paragraph on his laptop.
I do have a paragraph about Smallville.
Oh, boy.
Well, okay. Pete Ross was a main character for, like, 3 seasons on the show.
Not related to Betsy Ross.
He was Clark's best friend, the first one he told a secret to. And he came back as a guest star. And he was like Mr. Fantastic. He could stretch. He got infected by kryptonite gum. It was Stride gum, because Stride's a sponsor of the show this year. Not kidding. That part was cheesy. That part was admittedly cheesy.
Oh, I have a review. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Anyway. So that was kind of fun, but it was like, disappeared.
We'll do our reviews.
Yeah.
This isn't the last review.
I totally forgot
to tell you, though, to put it on the list, because Jimmy usually tries to get a list of what we're all talking about.
Oh, gosh.
And I totally forgot to fucking give it to him. I'm sorry.
I don't tell Jimmy fucking anything.
No, you just fucking roll, because that's how John is badass. Right. He's a fucking beast.
I spend all week scripting out every word we say during this podcast.
That's right. Right now?
No, I don't.
I'm totally not going off script. Fuck.
I wrote
that. Oh, no! What do we do?
Let me talk about Smallville for a minute, then you can review your shows. Anyway, so Pete Ross disappeared like 3 years ago. We know he was kind of forced out because he had been exposed to Clark's secret, blah, blah, blah. So then they get really mad, and Clark's like yelling at him. He's like, for 3 years, you haven't returned a phone call? That was neat. But then they brought in two of my favorite, like, actors from sci-fi series, even though I'm not big into sci-fi. The girl who stars in Flash Gordon came on and revealed this whole secret society thing, and I was going to ask Nick if this society had existed in the comic books.
What?
It was called, oh crap, it started with a V. I don't remember, but there was
vagina?
The Magoos. No. But in the secret society...
Violin.
Four...
Ventriloquist.
There were four families. This secret society had been around forever. It was the Luthers, of course. The Swans, which was Christopher Reeve's character on the show.
Opposite of Christopher Walken.
Oliver Queen, who's the Green Lantern's or the Green Arrow's parents, and the Teagues, who was Jane Seymour when she did her year
sure,
of the show.
I think it was an actual group, but it wasn't like the way they're doing it in the show.
And it's really interesting because, like, they revealed that Lionel Luthor killed off all the members of the group. Even Christopher Reeve's death, which they had said was natural causes years ago, a couple seasons ago, they revealed to be a murder. And so his daughter, who was the Flash Gordon girl, shows back up and confronts Lionel and completely kills Clark's trusted Lionel. And then Lex immediately kills her. They also had one of the Battlestar Galactica stars, guest star. Which
the
was
real reason why and Jimmy really Clark liked the episode.
The Secret Society thing was unexpected, and they completely went in a different direction.
Yeah, when Jimmy really likes a show, if he's upstairs watching in his room, even if he's the fucking dead-ass tired, that boy walks all the way downstairs and gives me a 5-minute dissertation on it. And he and we talk about the show. Uh-huh. No, seriously.
And, and the thing is, Lionel Luthor, when the show started, was the evil one, and Lex was good because he was Clark's best friend. And the whole thing, one of the draws of the show, is they were going to show Lex's descent into evilness until he and Clark became enemies.
Okay.
And you can blame Clark as much as you can blame Lex for his descent into evil, because Clark didn't trust him. And over again, demonstrated that he didn't trust Lex, mm-hmm. even though he had no reason not to trust him at that point, until Lex kind of went evil because he lost his best friend. Well, Lionel has turned good because Clark's Kryptonian father, Jor-El, chose him as his, like, vessel or whatever. And ever since then, Lex's father has been good now that Lex is evil. But now Clark has stopped trusting Lex's father, even though he should be trusting Lex's father. So he's going to go into his evil descent, too. So really, Clark is making as many of his enemies as he's not, which is kind of interesting because they always talk about... You always see Superman as, like, the total good guy that never did anything wrong. And now you're seeing, well... You know, he wasn't.
You're trying to make me like the show, and I'm sorry to be on the point where. Because
I know you're not going to like the show. I've given up trying to make you like the show. I just thought it was really interesting and neat.
Well, I know because you know, I only said it, sir, because you were the exact sentiment of what I don't like Superman or Captain America for that matter. So
that's true.
That's true. That's why.
So you should watch.
That's the only reason why I said that. I thought you were like going like,
oh,
hey,
I forgot about that for a second.
Yeah, you see,
I like your thinking.
It's playing to what you just.
I like your thinking.
Yeah, I might need to borrow Smallville.
I had the first four seasons.
Don't fall into it.
I like Superman.
Disclaimer,
I like the movies.
Disclaimer, the first season sucks ass. There's only three good episodes.
It's Monsters of the Week.
It is. It's Freak of the Week, the whole first season, except for the first episode, the last episode, and like two in the middle.
Uh-huh.
If you can make it through the first season, the show gets really good.
Yeah.
But the first season sucks ass.
All right, I'll think about it.
Or literally, just watch the show.
I'm just saying.
If you're really afraid it's going to suck or you start getting into it and it sucks, just watch the premiere and the finale and the one with the psychic woman in the nursing home, and then you can go straight to season two. You won't miss a thing.
Okay.
I promise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, part of me, though, like, cries foul, though, as a fan. Like, even though I don't like Superman, I have respect for the character. Yeah. And I understand what... It just seems like the X Generation, let's make it extreme. And mm-hmm.
It is a little CW'd out, I admit.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what my problem is with the show, really. And I'm sure it is a great show.
Well,
and
my friend Chris Alexis is a huge... That's his favorite show of all time. He was over here for my birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And his biggest complaint about the show is everybody knows Clark's secret now. Because Lana knows Clark's secret. His best friend Chloe knows.
Yeah.
Pete knows. The Luthers know, the Swans know, the Teagues know, the Stones know. There's all these people. The only people in the cast that don't know who Clark's secret is Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
Lois Lane didn't show up till season four, and Jimmy Olsen didn't show up till last season. So yeah. They're pretty recent additions to the cast. The original cast, everybody knows Clark's secret except for Lex Luthor. And he's been so close to discovering it for the whole run of the series that it's only a matter of time he's going to discover it.
Yeah, probably right before he gets taken off the show.
And it has been CW'd out because Lois Lane, when they added her, was an interesting character, but now she's basically there for eye candy. And they added Supergirl this year just for eye candy.
Boobage there, too.
Her cousin,
Boobage.
Who wears really,
Boobage.
Really small baby
Boobage.
Shorts. You'd probably think she's hot. She's blonde with big boobs and wears really tiny shorts.
What's hot about that? Nothing.
Oh, John. You and your sarcasm.
Amanda, John is a good boyfriend.
No, that, next time we do that, we should go, oh, John. And then we have like a little theme plan.
That's John.
That's a great idea. Okay, do your reviews.
All right, how many do you have?
I just have one.
It's all right, go ahead and do yours then.
I saw Horton Hears a Who. Horton
Who's a Horn? What dog?
Okay, my...
Did Horton still hear a who?
He did, surprisingly. My problem with... The movie works out because by the end of the movie, I will admit, I even got a little into it emotionally.
Aww.
I was a little teary-eyed.
Aww.
Yeah.
And... So I was invested with everything that was going on. The only problem is, the first 30 minutes of the movie, I wanted to take an elephant gun, and shoot his fucking eyes out. Because, no, and it's not Jim Carrey's fault, because
yeah.
I love Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I know you don't really, you're not, you don't love
I'm
him.
I'm not a big Jim Carrey.
But
I like Jim Carrey.
I like Jim Carrey, too.
I like the show.
And my dad saw it with me, too, and he thought the movie was great. He wouldn't pay to see it again. Like,
okay.
He would watch it if it was on cable for free, but he wouldn't openly pay. You're fine. He wouldn't openly pay for it again, but he laughed at during parts of the movie, and I thought the movie was stupid up until like 30 minutes into it,
because
all the fucking elephant does is fucking talk. It's like it's like you on Smallville and me on fucking Ninja Turtles. We just go on and the road never ends and we go, please dear God, kill us now.
And me on like vaginas and
stuff. And
yeah. John on his porn.
And and beyond that though, like right when you meet the Whoville though, the movie takes off and it becomes great. I will say though, Carol Burnett plays the kangaroo and you do not fucking tell him. I did not know Carol Burnett was in it. Until after we saw the movie, I was it sounds like Allison Janney from Juno plays the stepmom.
I love Allison Janney.
Have you seen Over the Hedge? I think you said you've not.
No, I haven't.
She plays good.
She plays the homeowners association, and it sounds exactly. I'm like,
I watched something on TV, like some special where they
do the interview
all making it up and everybody talking.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, here's Allison Janney doing her I'm a homeowners association voice.
It was Allison Janney.
Yeah, at the end of credits, I was like, that's fucking Carol Burnett.
Well, then I can see some similarities between Allison Janney and Carol Burnett both in voice.
Yeah, it was really good. I was also mad for the first time ever in a movie that was not a DreamWorks movie, is they fucking stunt casted fucking Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen's entire part is, hey, Gordon, I run really fast. I'm a little blue creature. I run really fast. I just want to eat. You should run right now. Boom, he runs off screen. And it's like, okay, is he going to come back? No, maybe, no, okay. And then, like, towards the end of the movie, Hey, Gordon, bad news. I'm Seth Rogen. I'm here for stunt casting, and you should run! And that's the end of the movie.
He says, Seth Rogen?
No, but that's the whole fucking point. It's just like...
No, see, that should have been...
Sarcasm!
Because that would be from Over the Hedge. It's like
whose part?
Steve Carell from Over the Hedge.
No, but that's the thing, though. At the same time, I will give DreamWorks that. Even though you know it's stunt casting... The way some of those movies are, they don't always feel like stunt casting sometimes.
No, it doesn't.
But that's the thing. Like, Seth Rogen totally felt like, let's just put him in there because it's stunt casting. And he's been famous recently. So beyond
I do love Seth Rogen.
Beyond that, though, the movie is actually really good. Matter of fact, John Beattie, the guy who wrote a lot of Simpsons episodes, was a story consultant. And it was beyond... I would recommend people to check it out just to check it out. The end is great. The end is great. But anyway. And they showed a trailer for Ice Age 3. I love the first Ice Age, second one was horrible, but the third one's called The Dawn of the Dinosaurs, and it shows the entire crust of the Earth, which is all covered in ice. Apparently the little muskrat breaks through, and when he lands, it's all like a tropical desert, and he lands on like a big guy's, T-Rex's nose.
I think the first one was very funny, to be honest.
I like the first one.
I think the first one was more emotionally investing for the character. Like, you cared about the characters. Now, it wasn't as funny, but like the whole thing, like his family died, and that was... I cried. My dad liked that movie, too. My dad likes a CGI movie. That's tough shit. Because, seriously, until Pixar's Incredibles, my dad thought CGI movies were meh.
Yeah.
See that review of Kung Fu Panda that they're comparing to the Incredibles, saying it's going to be, like, the best CGI movie ever.
Especially for DreamWorks. Really? They said DreamWorks did something good.
Which I thought looked
like shit. I actually watched the preview on Apple.
Yeah, it looks...
And it wasn't very funny.
I know. It wasn't. But maybe we have to give it a chance.
You didn't like... You didn't think Ratatouille was going to be good?
I didn't.
Over the Hedge was going to be good?
I admit both of those, and they're both awesome.
You also don't think, he's going to be good, and I'm taking your ass.
I guess there's a new trailer on it. Amanda keeps trying to get me to watch it.
For Wall-E?
Yeah, he falls in love with a girl robot, I guess.
Yes!
I haven't seen it yet, but...
And he's little cutie, he's floating around with a cute robot.
See, all I can think of is Short Circuit, and I have no desire to see a remake of Short Circuit. Short Circuit was good, but I have no desire to see a remake of it.
It's not a remake of Short Circuit.
It's what it looks like to me.
Alright, I know we're running pretty long, I'm going to do my reviews real quick. Alright, Saturday I was watching TV and there was nothing on. I happened to come across Beverly Hills 90210.
Really?
Watching an old episode of that. Yeah, that's kind of the reason why I said it. It was very weird to watch it and be like, it was kind of interesting.
Lisa really loves it. I may get the DVDs if the new one looks like it's going to do good.
What's his name? Rob Thomas from Verona Bateman is working on a spinoff of 90210.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the pilots got picked up.
He just got ordered three pilots.
I have
pilots.
No clue how they're going to work.
Rob Thomas from Veronica Mars, not the singer. Yeah. He did Veronica Mars. He got green-lighted for three pilots this season. Like three different networks. So I don't know what he's going to do for show running. If
what happened more in the episode, though, John? I'm curious.
Sorry.
Shit. I don't fucking remember. The one, Luke Perry, or no, not Luke Perry. What's
Luke
the,
Perry fucks
Luke Perry,
fuck
Brian Austin Green. Luke Perry, Brian Austin Green. Who's the other main guy?
There's
Jason Priestley. He had to work on some project for some guy, and the guy's daughter found out that Jason Priestley was like at home working on it alone because his parents were gone. And the girl shows up, and he like, and she's like trying to get him to sleep with him and crap like that. And, yeah. You know, she's the bad girl and all that stuff. And she like handcuffs herself to his bed.
Ooh, that's hot.
And he's like,
I
really need to get this done. Don't impress your dad. If you want to stay here, you can stay here and all that stuff. And shuts the light off and leaves her handcuffed. And they audition for some play. And some girl says she's not going to try out, but ends up doing it without the other people knowing. And she gets a part. And
oh, yay.
So, I don't know. It was kind of interesting.
I'm psyched. I want to see the next episode. I'm serious.
All right. I played them on TV from the beginning.
Let's see here. Do you watch American Idol?
Yes. We watched it on my birthday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you see when they did the songs from the year they were born?
Yes. We watched it on my birthday. Yeah.
The only reason I want to say it is because the guy, the rocker guy, I can't remember his name, plays the guitar.
Okay.
He rocks hard.
He has the same exact birthday as I do.
Oh,
December 20th, 1982. It's kind of weird.
What was the song?
He sang Billie Jean, but
yeah,
the remake.
That was a cool version.
Then he sang the remake version.
Remake, the hell does it?
Kanye, no.
No,
You got the money.
No, it's like a rock version. Oh. I can't remember who the fuck sang it.
Yeah.
Shit, I don't know. I watched Big Brother. You guys should watch it.
God, John, don't make
of
me.
All the reality shows that have come out, Big Brother is the best
Apprentice.
One.
That's what you said about Celebrity Apprentice, and now we got hooked.
But Big Brother is the best one because, I mean, it's just people. They just it's not scripted at all. Even though you know they say they're not scripted on the other ones, they just put them all in a house and they just let them go at each other, and it's you get to see like the human thinking and, you know, people lying to each other and all this stuff. Yes. Well, you can't watch it in the middle of the season. You got to wait until it starts again in the summer.
Ew.
Because you got to watch it from the beginning.
Well, then you're going to have to remind us when it starts.
All right, I will. I don't have Showtime, so I started watching Dexter. It's awesome.
Yes.
We mentioned it was on the top 50 or what? It's like number what?
30. It was number 30.
It's a good show. Even though it's edited and you can tell like kind of what's going on.
See, I want to watch it unedited. I do want to watch it.
Yeah, I've tried looking for
bobbing her head a few times when he's sucking her dick,
Yeah.
Dick.
See, I want to watch.
But
it
it's cool
her head
though. Though. I mean, I like the idea they got going on.
Wow, there are two episodes of 90210 a day.
Yeah, it's great.
Mr. Walsh goes to Washington.
So there's that, and what else have I been watching?
Three on Saturdays.
Weather's been getting really nice, so I am watching a lot of golf.
Aww.
And
how's the golf going?
It's good. It's good.
We don't talk about sports.
I know. The first major's coming up, the Masters. I'm excited. First time ever on TV, they're going to air the par 3 tournament.
Fans who are a fan of the Masters, when is the Masters air, John?
April 7th through the 13th is Masters week.
Oh, I'm sorry, Masters week.
So well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the actual tournament. Wednesday is par 3 tournament that I guess is really, really fun to be at, but they never show it on TV, and this is the first year they're showing it.
Oh, okay.
Because all the like the players, they like actually mess around with the crowd and making jokes, and I don't know, they're like letting there's a story like there's a random person in the gallery that says, oh, I could hit that shot better. So the player says, all right, come out and hit it. And he hits it better, and then the player's like, I can't believe you did that and all that stuff, and yeah, gives him money and all that crap, but that was it.
Here, take some of my nice $2,000 wad of cash in my wallet.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, all right, that's it on golf.
Okay. Do you have any other reviews?
I don't think so. No, I don't watch a lot of TV.
Well, that's all good. Well, I still watch TV, but I mean, I'm more movie-based, so compared to our little Jimmy, who's all going up into TV land.
I am the TV guy. See, they're in the 93, 94, 92 which is like right in the middle of the run. So, I'm going to have to wait a while before
Jimmy doesn't want
to
watch in the middle.
I
don't.
Need
to see the beginning.
Really
you need to see when Brenda was... Was Brenda in the episode?
Oh, yeah. All of them were in it.
Well, remember, at one point, Brenda just disappeared from the series.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, well. I watch so it. Much you don't remember.
All right. Well, anyway, I guess that's
I got
it,
one more review. Oh, but I forgot. Okay. My long-awaited, long-anticipated review of Raising the Sun, which I put off for week after week. More than that, it's been a month since it aired.
I took a nap
while I was watching it, so I like watched parts of it.
Jimmy's quote, I caught 70% of it.
I caught about 70% on and off. There's a big part of the middle I missed. Other than the fact that ABC dropped the vocals out of the first 12 minutes, because that was when ABC was doing their problems, they didn't sample shows, which really pissed me off. It was really good what I saw of it. The acting was great. The plot was great. I was just really tired, so I kind of napped through parts of the middle. Penis. I watched a lot of it with my eyes closed.
Penis and
but it was still good. It was good. Well acted. I'd like to see it again someday.
Yeah.
Puffy did good.
Puffy did do good.
Puffy. I'm sorry.
Donald and Felicia Rashad or whatever did that.
Yeah.
He was also good in Maid. Can I just say?
I just like to say, if he was good in Maid, I'm gonna say.
I think short.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Next week, tune in for the finale of the band, the geeky celebrity print. I had to think what the fuck I was
saying. And next week, I will be covering the season premiere of the final season, aired over the next like 14 months, of Battlestar Galactica.
The wait is long.
The wait is long, but yeah. It's going to be very satisfying. It's going to be awesome.
Me and John can't wait.
I will watch it Friday night. Even if Morgan's over here, I'm going to make her sit through it because I have to watch it Friday
Morgan,
night.
We feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
No, we're kidding. All right, you guys, thanks for listening, and you guys have a great one.
You See too. Ya.
That was a fucking lame ending, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Can I do another one?
Sure.
Do another take? All right, that's fucking... All right, thanks for listening, everybody, and... That's fuck! You know what? Fuck you all for listening to our show, even though we love you, and we wish you would write us, because we love you.
We love you,
Pat Godwin,
and
too.
And Joss Whedon! Joss Whedon, you should write in.
Yes, Joss Whedon, you should write in.
If you happen to listen to this random show.
Yes, this very random show. By the way...
The show's random, or this episode of the show is random?
Okay, I think we're really done now.
Yeah.
All right.
Da, 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 da. Get out of here with that! Jeez! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start a cheapers! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!
Being slightly slut. Jesus. I cannot talk. Slightly slykic.
Boy, Laven! One.
Would help if I were playing the right song.
Okay.
Doesn't need to be longer.
Take two.
Okay.